Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. That's going to be our lesson this morning, forgiveness, sin, and Jesus. As I mentioned when we had the class on Wednesday evening a week or so ago on forgiveness, I said I want to do a couple of sermons on this. So this is going to lay the groundwork for a couple more. Before we get into this, I want to welcome everyone. We had a nice rain last night. It's good to see everyone out, and we're off to another good week that God is blessing us. So when we have forgiveness of sins, forgiveness sets us free from our debt of sin. We are in bondage to sin. It's like we are in prison to sin until we are forgiven and set free. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Jesus speaking to his disciples, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." We want our debts, we want our sins forgiven. We want them canceled out. But we're going to need to forgive others also. So what is forgiveness? It means basically to send forth, send away, to remit, to forgive. It signifies the remission of the punishment due to the sinful conduct, deliverance of the sinner from the penalty divinely and therefore righteously imposed. It's through the sacrifice of Christ. So it is remitting or forgiving. And we understand that when it comes to money, when we have a loan forgiven, we need to understand that when it comes to our sins being forgiven. And this is something that we should greatly rejoice about. We should sing about it. This is from the index in the back of our songbook. I thought when I put that on there, it would be bigger for me to read off, to read off the screen. Amazing grace, and can it be? Blessed Redeemer, dear Lord and Father of mankind, grace greater than all our sin. He paid a debt. I gave my life for thee. I lay my sins on Jesus. I will praise him just as I am, Lamb of God, the great physician. There is a Redeemer, there is a Savior. To God be the glory. Years I spent in vanity. There are so many songs that we sing about forgiveness, and we need to sing them with great joy and happiness because our sins have been forgiven. But why do we forgive? Why, when we're talking about other people, forgiveness frees the forgiver. Here are two quotes. "Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing that you are the prisoner." You see, until you forgive someone, it's like you are the prisoner being held by this other person. And resentment is like a glass of poison that a man drinks, then he sits down and waits for his enemy to die. We look at these, they're funny on one hand, they're very sad on the other, because we know people that have done this, or we ourselves have done this. Again, to forgive is life. To not forgive, we're going to dry up and wither inside. We had talked about some areas that forgiveness might be difficult. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, socially. Maybe a child was abused growing up. Maybe a mate was unfaithful to their spouse and cheated on them and left. There are some areas of forgiveness that might be difficult. But the Bible deals with all of that. And it helps us to understand our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So we want to be at peace with all people. We can't do that if we haven't forgiven them. 1 Peter 3, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Again, we see our relationship with one another. And so if we want to be forgiven ourselves, we must extend that same forgiveness to others, and allowing forgiveness to triumph over the desire of retribution. We don't want to take revenge on somebody. When somebody does us wrong, sometimes, and you see people like this all the way, somebody does somebody wrong, and that person wants to do twice the wrong back. Friends, that will just eat somebody up. It'll kill somebody spiritually. We've got to have compassion for one another. Be tender-hearted, courteous, not returning evil for evil. If God did that with us, how many of us would be sitting here this morning? Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we see from this verse that forgiveness with God is conditional on us being willing to forgive someone else. And sometimes you hear people just talk about the love of God and everybody's going to be saved and everybody's going to heaven. Friends, the Bible is full of conditions. That little word, if, changes so many sentences in the Bible. Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. See, when we come to pray to God and we ask him to forgive us of our sins, we can't expect God to forgive us of our sins if we haven't forgiven our brother over here. Luke 6:37, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Again, it's conditional. James says in chapter 2, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. So if we don't show mercy to anybody else, when we stand before the judge, he's not going to show mercy to us. And there are two extremes with forgiveness. Some people feel like they will never be forgiven. They never have been forgiven. They feel like they are not worthy to be forgiven. I run into people like that. I imagine you have too. They just feel their life is not such that God's not going to forgive me. You don't know what I've done. And then the other extreme is some people live like God has forgiven them and they're dead wrong. They're dead wrong because they haven't met the terms that they need to be forgiven of their sins. Just because somebody says they have authority does not mean that they have authority. Just because somebody says that they can cancel a debt does not mean that they have authority to do so. Again, the student loan forgiveness has been in the news where it was said that all of the student loan was going to be forgiven. Nobody would have to pay that money. Here's a photograph in Washington. Student debt cancellation is legal. Well, just saying something doesn't make it that way. What happened? the Supreme Court ruled and said, no, you got to understand our Constitution. A president does not have the power to forgive debt. That's within Congress. We understand that in the physical world. When we come to the spiritual world, who has authority to forgive sins? Some people will say this person does. Some people will say that person does. Here we have a priest. And again, I'm not making light of anyone's religion because people sincerely believe this. But they believe that they can forgive the sins of someone. They feel that they have the authority to do that. And again, when Christ said that he has all authority, how much authority does that leave for anyone else? No authority. No authority. But we realize that forgiveness is needed. Forgiveness exists because sin exists. Forgiveness is necessary because sin affects all the areas of our life. And forgiveness is not about ignoring evil, excusing it, making light of it. On the other hand, forgiveness faces sin and evil. Forgiveness acknowledges that a terrible wrong had been done and seeks to do something about it. They want to make it right. But we've got to understand sin is real. And again, so many people don't even believe in sin anymore. You don't need to look far to see that we live in a sinful world. We were born into a world and there are harmful patterns of sin that persist in societies, communities, in churches, and families. And we may not even be aware of our own contribution to that cycle of sin. And because sin is in the world, and we are in the world, and we are involved in this, we are going to need forgiveness also. We have to be honest with ourselves. John deals with that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So if we say that we haven't sinned, we are lying and we're calling God a liar. We have all sinned and we all need forgiveness. And we've got to understand, we've got to get our friends to understand that sin is destructive. Sin breaks that communion with God and it destroys our relationship with God and with others. The first sin brought death into the world for all to suffer the consequences. You think about that. When Adam and Eve sinned, it didn't just affect them. It affects us today. It affected everybody. When we sin, sometimes people will say, well, that sin doesn't involve anybody else. Friends, we don't know how much our sin involves everybody else from the influence that we have, from the influence on our family or neighbors or co-workers. When someone hurts us, our pain and our sin begin a cycle of anger, violence, resentment, revenge that increases over time. Only forgiveness can allow us to break this cycle. Again, when you start down that road, you know where that road is going to take you. And we need to stop because that end is destruction. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5:12. Colossians 1:21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled. We've been reconciled, made whole. We have been forgiven. And notice in James 4, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. We see that pride promotes strife. Where do wars and fights come from? They come from your sinful desires and the pleasure that war within your members. So sin is real. Sin is real. And God cannot tolerate sin. Now, the Bible tells us that God is merciful and forgiving, but it also makes clear that God does not tolerate sin. And because sin is so harmful, it demands divine judgment, not mere dismissal of it. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" God does not overlook sin. It's going to be dealt with one way or another, at one time or another. We see a picture like this, and to me, it just brings to my mind that I am going to be standing before a judge someday, hopefully not in one of the courts in Montgomery County, but the greater reality is I'm going to be standing before a judge, the judge, the creator of the earth, the one that gave us a law. And am I going to be found guilty or innocent? Is he going to forgive me of my sins? Is he going to cancel that debt? So we need to understand that forgiveness is possible. If judgment of sin were the last word on the matter, we would all stay trapped in our guilt and brokenness. On the other hand, if vengeance for every offense were the only option, we would forever remain separated from our Creator. We would always be lost. We would always be separated from God. But thank God, He has provided another way, the way of forgiveness. And forgiveness does not erase the past, but it gives us a chance for a better future. One of the songs on that mice print up there, "He paid a debt." It's a beautiful song. "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Jesus, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. One day, He's coming back for me to live with Him eternally. Won't it be glory to see Him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. It's a beautiful song, a beautiful thought. You see, one of our memory verses on our workbook, Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all deserve death because we have all sinned. That's the wages of sin. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We have forgiveness. And God, friend, God desires to forgive. The Old Testament contains many examples of God sending punishment on people for their acts. However, His withholding of judgment was for the purpose of bringing the people back to God so He could forgive them and restore the broken relationship. And though our actions deserve judgment, God desires to be merciful to us. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. See, God is, he's ready for to forgive us, but it's got to be on his conditions. We've got to turn from our wicked ways. Jeremiah 36:3, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I propose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil ways, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Friend, if we want forgiveness from God, we have to turn from our evil ways. Psalm 103, a beautiful psalm. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God wants to forgive us, and Jesus made forgiveness possible. Again, Acts 13:38. Let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love to us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, did God wait for us to be right, to be whole, to be acceptable in his sight before he sent Christ? God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then sometimes when somebody wrongs them, what do? We want to wait till they have made everything right, that they've gone far and beyond what they need to do, and then I'll think about maybe forgiving them. Friends, again, if God was acted that way toward us, we wouldn't have any hope. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:13-14, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So if we want this forgiveness we're talking about, where do we find it? It's in his blood. It's in his blood. And how do we come in contact with that blood? It's through baptism. That's where we reach the blood. Verse after verse talks about the need to be forgiven of our sins. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The remission of sins, the forgiveness of our sins. We want that debt canceled. Acts 10:43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Again, it's believing in Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to believe that he is. Someone will say, see, all we have to do is believe. But when you go through the book of Acts and you read about someone believing, do you know what follows that? Baptism. They're baptized. As believers, we are made right with God through Jesus. But our old patterns of sin might resurface. Sinful habits in our lives hurt others, impede a growing relationship with God. We continue to need forgiveness from God and from others. 1 John 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So we have an advocate with the Father. That's when we are standing before the judge. We have someone that is going to represent us to the judge. We have Christ that is our advocate. Matthew 5, 23, 24. If you bring your gift to the altar and you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift. Go your way. Be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. See, if we do not forgive others when we worship God, we're just being hypocrites. He says, take care of your affairs, then come and worship so you are not a hypocrite. We forgive others as often as needed. When Peter asked about this, how many times am I supposed to forgive? Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. How many times do we want God to forgive us? We want God to forgive us every time we repent. And friends, we've got to learn forgiveness, and we've got to give up on getting revenge. We've got to give up on that anger. And that, in one way, is a natural response when we're harmed. But God's word tells us to react a different way. We are to forgive that person. We don't take vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Christ is coming back to take vengeance. We are to practice forgiveness. Proverbs 20:22. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. Romans 12, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So we've looked, laying the foundation for this. We see that forgiveness frees the forgiver. We see forgiveness is needed. God cannot tolerate sin. Forgiveness is possible. God desires to forgive. Jesus made forgiveness possible. We need to forgive others as often as needed. We need to give up on revenge. One thing I left out of this lesson is examples. So in the next lesson that I do on this, we are going to look at some examples of forgiveness. The Bible is full of them. Esau and Jacob, Joseph, his brothers, the prodigal son, the tax collector, Jesus asking the Father to forgive those who crucified him. Peter and Stephen, we're going to look at some examples to apply some of this first lesson. But in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We all want forgiveness. We all need forgiveness, but we must meet the conditions. If we haven't been baptized, we must be baptized. If we have been baptized and we have sin in our lives, we need to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. Friends, let it be known to you that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. We can only have forgiveness in Christ. We want our sin canceled. And friends, when we stand before that judge one day, how will the judge rule when you stand before him? Will he find you guilty or will he find you forgiven? Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.